Tonight's Amazing Race podcast is sponsored in part by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, who are the keys to everything that I do, and not like on some giant 50-chain key ring that's part of a magic trick. To find out more about the benefits of being a Rob Has a Podcast patron, visit robhasawebsite.com/patron. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who says that reality TV is his podcast-making impetus, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our live show the day after the Amazing Race finale. We are here live to talk about everything that happened on the Amazing Race All-Stars final episode, episode number 12. And here with me to talk about it all is my co-host. All season long, we've been talking about it. Here she is. It's Jessica Lease. Jessica, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Jess, is this a bittersweet day for you, the day after the Amazing Race finale?
Yeah, it's kind of like everything's winding down now. And I'm kind of sorting out how I feel about it all.
Yeah, this is kind of like finals week for me right now, because we've got the Amazing Race wrapping up, and it's like, okay, I've gotten through that exam, but I've got another big exam coming up in a couple days with the Survivor finale, so get to catch my breath a little bit for a day here in between. But we have so much Amazing Race coverage that we've been doing from last night to now, and of course, I just posted all of our Amazing Race final three exit interviews, and I thought they all turned out really well.
Yeah, they were a lot of fun to listen to.
Yes. And so I had said that if I could get through the Amazing Race All-Stars season of podcasts and get them all done, then Nicole said that we could have another baby. So then we're going to start working on that right away.
Don't start working on it right now, Rob. I don't want to watch that.
Oh, all right. Well, that's disappointing. All right. So we'll wait
till after the show.
We'll wait on that. We'll wait on that. And not actually true either. So here we are. We're live. And this is what we want to hear from you guys. And we want to get reactions from you guys. For the most part, I think you guys know what Jess and I think about the finale and the season. But we want to hear from you and answer your questions. So we've got the chat room going on robhasawebsite.com. Plus, we have Twitter open. Scott St. Pierre is collecting all of your tweets with the hashtag RHAP. And then as well on YouTube, you can post on our YouTube channel on this video at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. All right, Jess, are you feeling exhausted today? I know you guys had the party last night in New York.
Yeah, the party was fantastic. Oh, we had a lot of the fans turn out and got to meet a bunch of people, which was very fun.
Yeah. Sounds like it. And it was more fun than my Amazing Race party?
Yeah, I think it was marginally more fun than your Amazing Race party.
Yeah, eating Chinese food with my in-laws and a baby?
Yeah, we definitely had more fun.
Okay, good. But good, you guys set the bar low then.
Yeah,
all right.
I guess so.
All right, so let's get into sort of just setting up where we are, and then we'll jump into taking your questions. So make sure you get your questions in, because that's what this show is really all about here today as we start to look ahead towards the Amazing Race offseason, what's coming in the future. We could talk about the move to Fridays. We could also talk about anything that took place in this season as well. So Dave and Connor, any thoughts on them as a winner? I feel like we didn't talk about that last night, their place in the pantheon, Jess. Are you willing to say that Dave and Connor, do you look at them as a top five Amazing Race team?
I don't believe they make the top five. They might make the top 10.
Now, they had six leg wins. That's very impressive, Jess.
Yeah, that is pretty good. They were definitely among the more dominant.
Yes. So who is in the pantheon?
Well, let's see. Dave and Rachel are definitely in the pantheon.
Yes. Dave and Rachel are up there.
Yeah. And I'd say probably Nick and Star.
Okay.
And let's see. Rob and Brennan were very dominant, as I recall. I don't have them ranked, but I'd say Megan and Shane are probably also in the mix.
Because I feel like Dave and Connor, if you're going to make the case for them, I feel like they should get credit considering that they've never actually been eliminated. I mean, through That's one it. Plus seasons, they've never been eliminated.
Well, that's a fair point. Neither have Brendan or Rachel.
I guess so, but they still have come in third. Where even like a team like, you know, Rob and Brendan who win in the first season, it's like Dave and Connor not only won a season, they also have another five legs in which they didn't get eliminated and had a number of first place finishes as well. So they have like one plus seasons of not being eliminated.
So it's like 1 point something.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know that I can make a case for them being a dominant team when they self-eliminated on like the fourth leg.
Well, they self-eliminated, I think, is probably the wrong word. I mean,
that's the word Connor used.
Yeah, but I think it was more like a medevac where, you know, that they were advised that, look, you need to get medical attention. It wasn't like, you know, it was like a pain management issue.
Yeah. Well, I will say this for them. They made the most of their second chance. And a lot of times when you have a team that goes out that early, you spend a lot of time thinking about, well, what could they have done? You know, how would this season have turned out differently? And most teams when they come back, or most players, you see it on Survivor all the time, when they come back, they don't live up to that potential. But Dave and Connor definitely did.
I called Jen and Caroline in my exit interview today the greatest team to ever not win a leg of the Amazing Race. Is that accurate?
I don't know if that's accurate. They were at the bottom of the pack a lot.
Is there a greater team that's never won a leg?
You know, we got some guys in the chat room that have whole spreadsheets devoted to this kind of thing. So I'm going to wait and see what they say about this.
All right, let's wait and see what they say. But I can't imagine that there is a better team that's never won a leg.
Well, you know, we had a couple of winners that never won a leg.
No, but the last leg is winning a leg.
Okay, the last leg is a leg.
Yeah. So, like, you can't say the Beekmans never won a leg because if you win the race, you won the last leg.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, let's get to some of your questions here as we go along on the day after the Amazing Race finale here live. Let's take a question from Alex, who gets us started, who wants to know, do you think the Amazing Race should no longer cast reality TV imports for future cycles? Now, this was something that we were asked earlier in the day on Twitter, and I responded to it, and I actually responded, we should cast more people from reality imports. I love it, Jess.
Yeah, I favorited that tweet because I agree with you.
You do? I'm surprised.
I like cross-promotional synergy, and I feel like we haven't had a dud team, apart from that really early season where they brought the girl on with her boyfriend who wasn't
Allison.
On Big Brother.
Allison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I feel like we've done pretty well. I mean, they don't win, but they're good TV.
Jenna and
they're
Ethan
kind of proven in that.
Was kind of a bust also.
Yeah, that was kind of unfair to Jenna and Ethan.
What I've always heard about this is that it's CBS who wants the reality retreads. Like CBS is like, hey, let's get a Survivor in there. Let's get a Big Brother person in there. And it's Bertram and the Amazing Race production, I feel like, are always the ones that say, not so much. We're not crazy about this idea.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I feel like sometimes they end up caving to pressure.
Yeah. So I feel like that, but CBS pushes for these things. And so that when the Amazing Race loses the reality contestant, they're not super devastated because it's more that CBS wants them in there.
Yeah, that's true. But I would imagine that they're probably happy they don't have to cast one more team. You know, it's less work for them.
Yeah. I feel like it always works out in the favor of more drama, and I think that's a good thing. So I feel like we should have more and more reality TV retreads. Do you want one every season, or is that too much?
I don't want one every season. I think the most we want is maybe one every other season. So we don't want to force it. We don't want to just be like, we need somebody from a reality show. Let's just grab these people. We want it to mean something. We want them to be actual you know, people we watched and enjoyed, or, you know, the opposite of enjoyed.
Is there anybody on your radar right now that you feel like the Amazing Race could use this person?
Not lately, to be honest. I haven't seen a lot of huge characters that I'm anxious to see on the show.
How about Tony Vlachos?
Haven't we gotten enough of Tony?
Not yet. Not yet. I don't think so.
If Tony and Spencer were a team, I would definitely watch that, and I would probably root for them. But
yeah. Okay, let's take D Teaches ESL. Wants to know, are Connor and Dave over the U-turn? They retweeted a few mean tweets regarding the Brentschels. Why? Also, I too agreed with what was mentioned last night in your podcast. I wish they wouldn't have shown Dave and Connor whining so much. Now, this is a person, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say that D Teaches ESL is probably a Brentschel supporter. And there's been a little bit of, I'm not sure if we're in an echo chamber or not, but from our vantage point, it feels like there's been a lot of people who have been pro Brendan and Rachel and less people. I feel like in the comments and whatever, I feel like it's been about 70-30 people supporting the Brentschel side of this argument as opposed to the Dave and Connor side of this. But Jess, do you feel like, are we in the echo chamber in the reality TV podcasting world where outside of this world, is it much more lopsided in favor of pro Dave and Connor?
Well, the funny thing was, in the bar last night, I felt like the atmosphere was overwhelmingly anti-Brentschel.
Why?
And, like, people were booing them, and I don't know, maybe there were just a couple of really loud people, but it seemed like more people were rooting against them than for them. But I don't know that that necessarily translates to anybody rooting for Dave and Connor, because I didn't really get that sense either.
I feel like the Amazing Race superfan doesn't like Brendan and Rachel. I feel like it's almost like this is like a political issue where we have to like look at like the breakdowns of like the different parts of the party. So I feel like the Amazing Race super fan is not crazy about Brentschel. The casual Amazing Race fan that's also watches Big Brother is supportive of Brentschel. And the casual Amazing Race fan who doesn't watch Big Brother is supportive of Dave and Connor.
Well, I think it also depends on what media you take in. Like, I feel like the rap universe was very pro-Brentschel, except for a few very vocal, you know.
But I think a lot of the people in the Robinson Podcast audience consume all of these shows. So I feel like that if you are a Big Brother consumer, you are probably a, you know, it's probably the Venn diagram of Big Brother fan, Amazing Race fan. And then if you're in the middle and you're in the intersection, then you were probably pro Brendan and Rachel. Probably. Not everybody, but for the most part. And if you were an Amazing Race fan and had not been exposed to Big Brother, then you were probably a Dave and Connor supporter.
Yeah, I think that's generally true. I had a couple of friends. I made my best friend watch this season. She had never seen The Amazing Race before. She'd never seen any of the reality shows. And she came through it very, very anti-Brentschel, not knowing anything about who these people were or where they came from.
Okay. It's an interesting discussion. I'm not sure if we answered the last question, but I guess the question was, are Dave and Connor still bitter towards Brendan and Rachel? Well, you can listen to my exit interview with them, but pretty much they said that Brendan and Rachel would not be getting a Christmas card from Dave and Connor.
Yeah, I don't know if they sounded bitter. They just sounded like they're done with Brentschel, which was kind of the overarching sentiment at the end of their first season, as I recall.
Yeah, no, I didn't think that they came off as bitter either. I'm just saying that's pretty much what they said about Brendan and Rachel, that they said they were not big fans of theirs.
Yeah, there's a spectrum. There's the, you know, hugging and Christmas cards, and then there's the we hate them and we're still having out for them. They're somewhere like over here.
Yeah, but for the people who are the anti-Brentschel, like of the four reality TV seasons that they were on, they were by far the best behaved of any of their seasons on this season of The Amazing Race. So this was a pretty neutered version of Brendan and Rachel this season. They were far and away on their best behavior that we've ever seen from them before.
Yeah, I would say I think that was one of the reasons that people seem to think we're unfairly biased in favor of Brenchel, because we're giving them a lot of credit for not being themselves.
Yeah, just to give you the Brenchel bad behavior power rankings, I think it goes Big Brother 12 is probably the worst behaved Brenchel season, then probably Amazing Race 20, then probably Big Brother 13, and then Amazing Race 24.
So what you're saying is they learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, actually, Big Brother 13 was actually after Amazing Race 20. Was it, right? Yeah, they had won Big Brother before they came onto the Amazing Race. But yeah,
yeah, I think that's yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take another question here. This is from JJ Rules 07. First of all, congrats to Dave and Connor for winning the race. First question, can we consider this final leg as a Jamarcus Russell type final leg in which all the seasons that we can consider as Tom Brady? Would you prefer a final leg that visits a country then the final city like in early years, or stick with just hitting to the final city? So basically, we're making a football comparison from a guy who is a very, very good football player to a guy who is a not good football player who's out of the league. And do you like it only being in one city in the finale?
Well, I think the difference between the having it in two cities on the finale and having it in one city is the fact that we only had an hour. Usually the finale is two legs kind of sandwiched together, and the penultimate leg is in another country, and then the final bits are in the American city where it's going to end up. So I don't think that this format is any different from previous seasons.
Yeah, but typically the two-hour finale, I think, makes it feel more epic, whereas I feel like it would almost be like if you started the Survivor finale this week and you were already at the final three. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It seems,
and I think
like
the one time Survivor tried to do that, it was really bad.
Yeah, but that was at the height of its popularity and height of like milking things. So I feel like that this was just, it didn't have the gravity of the typical Amazing Race finale.
Yeah, and I like having more teams in the mix on the very last night.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Zachary Zarnett Klein, who says, question, did you miss not having a memory challenge at the end of the race? Jess, did you miss this? I felt like last night you were like, that you almost were saying like, oh, this is good because it was making it, keeping people on their toes and they can't prepare for a memory challenge because they don't know if they'll have one.
Yeah. I think we can't have them every season, or people will just come to expect them and it kind of takes the fun out of it.
But why not? I mean, in Big Brother, the challenges are always the same towards the end, that everybody knows that, okay, I got to do, we're going to do a challenge about, you know, what order was this person, the HOH and stuff like that. Like, I just think it's part of the game. You don't feel like they should do it every season?
No, I think sometimes if they've got something that can take its place, and I felt like the David Copperfield challenge was what we got instead of a memory challenge, and it was fine. It was interesting, and David Copperfield clearly wanted to be involved, and he designed that whole thing for them. It was kind of cool, and if that's what we get instead of a memory challenge, I'm totally okay with it.
You know, the more we talk about the David Copperfield challenge, I enjoyed it when it was on, I guess, as a viewer. But just think about it. There really wasn't much there. You know, it was sort of like they locked you in a cardboard, in a box. But it wasn't the box that you had to get out of in a certain amount of time. You just basically were like locked in a box and had to find the right key out of 50 keys. And there really wasn't much to it.
No, that's true. At least they threw him something that they had to do.
But it was more like the gag was for us at home than it was for anything that they were actually had to do in the race.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, it was just like that, like, oh, we're going to like freak everybody out at home that we did this magic trick. But it was like, okay, for the people that were in the race, it was just them. Like, they didn't actually pick a lock, right?
I was unclear on that, but you might be correct on that.
You know, they just had to like, here's a key ring and you have to find the right key and then open it. And so they like, none of the racers actually performed a death defying stunt. Like, it was a trick.
Yeah, I mean, nobody was going to tell them they got it wrong, I guess. You've got a point. It was kind of just treading water. If David Copperfield had yelled at them and made them do it over and over until it was perfect, then we're on to something.
Yeah, because it was like they were locked in the box, and then it was like, okay, now once they unlock the key, then flip the switch to make it go into the thing. And so, you know, it was just like they just, once they got out of the box, they just like put on a fireman's costume and ran out and like scared their partner.
Yeah, it took everybody exactly the same amount of time.
I will say the David Copperfield challenge, much better than take a picture with a cardboard cutout of Obama.
That is certainly true.
Yeah. And Connor was funny in my interview today that he thought that it was going to be something like that with David Copperfield, yeah. That it wasn't going to be the real David Copperfield. But actually what they should have done was, okay, the teams will have to then take a picture with a cardboard cutout of David Copperfield, and then David Copperfield should like appear when they think it's a cardboard cutout of him.
Sort of like when whenever they unveil a new statue in Madame Tussauds and they get the real celebrities stand there and pretend to be the statue and freak people out.
Yeah, I think that would be good. That's maybe for Amazing Race 25.
Okay. All right, well, we'll call them up and let them know. I'm sure they'll want our ideas.
Brendan M. says, why did they make the final task basically impossible for the trailing team to gain ground? Whoever got to the clue first was essentially guaranteed the win because they would get the first helicopter. This is a good point. You know, there really weren't a lot of areas in which you could make up ground. It was sort of like everybody was on the same flight, right? And then everybody then was driven to the same hole. And then you got your box. So it's like, I guess you could dig faster than the other teams into the hole. And then you got your box and you got driven to David Copperfield. And I guess you could get luckier with what key. But then you got to the neon boneyard, and then you weren't allowed to run through the neon boneyard. You had to walk. And then basically, then you would get to the mirage. It was all about like if you found the entrance to the mirage quick enough, because then it wasn't like you could go up the scaffolding quick. I guess you could screw in your light bulbs faster than the other teams, and you could not screw up your count. And then after that, once you come down, it's like just get to the helicopter. And then there's really just as long as you see the thing, there's really wasn't a lot of room to screw that up.
Yeah, they could have made the seeing the thing part a little bit harder, I believe.
Yeah,
I didn't get the sense that that was much of a challenge for anybody. Like they knew exactly where to look. And there's a lot of light and crap on the Las Vegas Strip. They could have done something a little more involved with that.
Okay. Yeah, so it was a tough race, but to end up a comeback if you were falling behind, but all the teams were kind of on a flat-footed tie. So
yeah, I mean, I would disagree that it was tough to come back if you were falling behind because the order changed up a lot of times, like more than any other episode this season. And it was certainly better than last year's finale where everybody stayed in the exact same order the entire time.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Let's go to Mike Bloom, who wants to know, if we replace this season's final three with the next three eliminated teams, which were the Afghanimals, the Cowboys, and the Globetrotters, how would that last leg go? Who would stand the best chance of winning? Who would win the second trimester of teams here? The Afghanimals, the Cowboys, or the Globetrotters?
Well, I can tell you that the Globetrotters would not do well on that light bulb changing task. Like, I'm sure they would have trouble remembering how many lights were up there and following all the instructions. So I would say they would probably be out of it. And the Cowboys are not good with details either. Maybe we're looking at an Afghanimals win out of that.
Yeah, but wouldn't Big Easy be able to screw the light bulbs in the top easier?
Well, you know, amazing size doesn't equal amazing manual dexterity. I mean, they are pro basketball players that can spin things on their fingers. Maybe they're good with light bulbs. I don't know.
All right. Let's go to Luke. And Luke wants to know, question, what was your favorite challenge from this season? Let's talk about some of the things that worked and did not work from this season. Do you have a favorite challenge from this year?
Well, I quite liked the thing with the Ferris wheel in the very first leg.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was easier than they could have, but I thought that was very effective, and it kind of, there was some skill involved, and once you picked up on what you had to do, you could get through it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what some other things that really did work for me this season. I did like when they had to go on the put the raft together. I thought that was I thought that was a good moment.
Bartending worked. I thought the Malaysia leg, for it all being in one contained spot, I thought that was very effective.
Yeah, I thought that was also a pretty good one. I feel like we should write down as we go through the season so we don't have to try to remember things after.
Well, I've got it up on Wikipedia right now.
Okay, so what do you got?
Well, we can go through all of them.
Well, why don't you just tell me the ones that jump out that you liked?
I liked the step counting. A lot of people didn't like that. I did.
I thought it was good.
And I thought the milk jugs were good, and I thought the hotel cleaning was terrible.
Yeah, the hotel cleaning, that was probably on the best of the worst list.
Yeah, I think the balloon was absolutely the worst.
I think that was the high watermark for the things that sucked about this season. The balloon shaving, remote control car racing, hotel cleaning, Any other ones that were on the Dirty Dozen?
Well, let's see. Shirt sewing.
Sewing is not good.
Yeah. Sewing's not exciting to watch ever.
Yeah. Calligraphy, how was that?
Calligraphy could have been better.
Yeah.
I would put calligraphy somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, chat room, jump in on this as well. So,
yeah, I thought they would.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was, were the lows of this season roughly equal to previous lows? Or do you feel like that we hit new lows with some of these tasks?
I think we hit rock bottom and kept on digging.
And then Brendan threw dirt in our hole?
Yeah, Brendan threw dirt on our hole.
Yeah. Was the balloon shaving the worst thing that they ever did for a task?
It is down there. It might actually be. I mean, there are ones that took a lot. There are ones that took less skill and thought, but that one is definitely it's corny and it's cheap and it had very little to do with the location. So it's hitting all the marks.
Yeah. I feel like the face painted on the balloon, I felt like also made it seem more low rent.
Yeah. It looked very, very summer camp.
It looked kind of like the Amazing Race birthday party edition.
Yeah. I'll keep that in mind. You know, I got a landmark birthday coming up, so we'll throw a party.
Okay. Let's go to Mr. Air Sonic. And Mr. Air Sonic says, fun fact, Brenchel are two of three racers to ever make it to the final three twice. The first being Eric from season 9 and 11. However, they are the first team to make it to the final three twice. This, in my opinion, just proves how strong they are. So, in the power rankings, who is higher, Eric Sanchez or Brenchel?
Eric was a much more dominant racer. Like, they pulled so many first places his first time out, and then he came back with Danielle, and everybody hated him, and he just kind of fed off of the hate, and they ended up winning.
Yeah. So who knew there was something that Eric Sanchez and Brendan and Rachel have in common?
They probably have many more things in common than that. I think they travel in the same circles.
There you go. All right. Spicy Wasabi says, grumpy old whiny curmudgeons Rudy Bosch, Randy Belly can be made likable. Self-deprecating, snarky people, Cochran and Tyson, can be made endearing. So how did the editors get it so wrong with Dave? Now, again, I'm wondering here, because I'm hearing from people like Jeff Probst, so the people on the street, it seems like there's a disconnect where there are some people who feel like that Dave was unlikable this season, while others feel like that Dave was just as endearing in this season and just as much of a victim of Brendan and Rachel as you could say vice versa. So Jess, which is it? Was Dave edited as with some negative things about him, or is that a overreaction from people who are fans of Brendan and Rachel?
You know, I don't know that you can really look at how people feel about Dave objectively, because I think it's so polarized right now that how you feel about how he came off this season is a direct reflection on how you feel about Brenchel. Because if you hated Brenchel going in, you are inclined to see them as having attacked him unfairly, and you're more inclined to take his side of it. But if you like Brenchel, as we kind of did, we kind of went along and we could see both sides of the story there. And
so people's opinion on Dave is sort of like a Rorschach test on your opinion of Rachel.
Yeah, I would say if we polled 100 people, there would be a very strong correlation. Like Dave, hate Brenchel, you know, lukewarm on Dave, like Brenchel.
Yeah. Interesting. It's interesting. So I don't think that, Dave was unlikable, but I feel like you could say I can certainly see, and I felt this way during the season, that it was like, okay, enough with the Brenchel thing, because there was about a 3-week period where it did go on and on and on, and then there was a point where it was just over. You know, they just once the Cowboys went out, then it was never brought up again.
Yeah, I really wanted them to drop it much earlier than they did.
Yeah.
I think we lost out on seeing some other things that were probably more interesting.
It was a little one note without there being an escalation of the fight, where it was like, you know, if it escalated into like Dave and Connor, like getting in Brendan and Rachel's face, and that there was going to be a confrontation, that would be fine. But it just was like a lot of just like over and over again, like I can't believe that what they did to us. How could they do that? Somebody ought to U-turn them. And it was a lot of like, you know, just complaining as opposed to there being actual conflict.
Yeah. I feel like when we've seen fights like that in previous seasons, they end up having like a brief scene in the next episode where they all talk it out and they agree either we want these people to go or we're all cool now. And then they never mention it again. And we never got that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Nick2S, who wants to know, would you like to see more celebs a la David Copperfield in Legs of the Amazing Race if the location matches the celebrity? What's your take on this, Jess? Was that a win for you, or was it a miss for you?
Well, I like everything to do with Vegas, pretty much. Like, I was very excited when they had Wayne Newton in season 15. So David Copperfield, that was a win for me as well.
I know. I was surprised to see the number of complaints about this leg in the comments, because I just felt like that the things they did felt big. So I really couldn't complain about this final leg, even though a lot of other people disagreed and had a lot of complaints about the final leg. But it didn't feel cheap by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, not compared to the rest of the season. Like, maybe it's another case of our expectations being so lowered that we don't have a problem with what we might hate in a different season.
Yeah. It felt like that there was a lot of things going on and a lot of, like, you know, interesting thing. So I didn't mind that there was no memory competition, and maybe because it was just a 1-hour finale, it felt like it was, you know, that there wasn't too many things actually happening, but it didn't bother me, the finale.
Yeah, no, me either.
Okay. Let's go to Luke Ferrantino, who wants to know, is it time to switch up the game? How about instead of a U-turn, we have a rewind, which appears after a roadblock, and the team rewound has to go back to the roadblock, and the other team member who did not complete it before must then complete it. Do you think that we need, are more twists what we need in The Amazing Race?
No, I think we're doing well with the twists we have.
Yeah. Do you feel like the game has gotten stale? Do you feel like that we need to shake up the game, or do you feel like the game is fine, but we need to make sure that we are executing with the game we have?
Yeah, we need to execute the game we have. We need to cast good teams, and you need to go to cool places.
Should The Amazing Race hire you as a consultant, Jess? Would that be a smart decision to bring you into the fold?
You know, I have had that suggested to me, and, you know, I'm open to it. I'm willing to entertain offers. So if you're listening, CBS.
I mean, that's I would hate to have somebody steal you away from me, but it does seem like it would be a smart move on their part. I mean, I don't think that you would hold them up in the contract negotiation. And it feels like that, you know, if you could, you know, get people feeling good about the show, and, you know, I think that this would be a very positive thing for them.
You know, I would do my part to try to revive the franchise.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of good left in it if they do it the right way, and they don't even have to blow their budget on it.
Yeah, you could be a real shot in the arm.
Hey, you know, they know where to find me.
Okay. All right, let's go to at Soul Survivor Yap. Jeremiah, not Jeremy Yap. We've seen Survivor and Big Brother contestants compete on The Amazing Race. Do you think that we could see any racers on these other two shows? I feel like we've talked about this before, but do you ever think that we'll see Amazing Racers then go on to be on Survivor or Big Brother?
Well, it used to be that you would have people from Big Brother go on The Amazing Race. You have people from Survivor go on The Amazing Race. And Amazing Race was just taking everybody else's leftovers. But now we've had Hayden Moss as kind of a trailblazer in this regard. Mm-hmm. So I think it's entirely possible we'll see some things going the other way.
I mean, I guess I could see, like, in a blood versus water season, if you took, like, let's just say hypothetically, like, the 20s, where, like, if Survivor did a blood versus water of all new people, and could you take the 20s and use them on Survivor as, you know, in a season of blood versus water where it's like 10 new players who've never played Survivor before? I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, I think so. I would love to see that, actually. That could be very interesting.
That would be pretty interesting. I would be on board with that. Although I wonder, though, if, like, you took, like, the 20s on Survivor, in casting-wise, if you basically are, like, doubling down that, you know, Natalie and Nadia are so similar, it's almost like, are you doubling down on one character type?
Well, you know, I was saying when they did Blood versus Water before that I was dying to see someone bring in an identical twin. That would be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did that on Big Brother once, and I wouldn't say it was really interesting.
Well, they did it wrong on Big Brother. That was just dumb.
Project DNA, do not assume, Jess.
Yeah. Okay. That was the one season that I watched, and that's kind of why I don't watch Big Brother anymore.
All right. Alex Wilpon wants to know, we've talked a lot about this season about good and bad race legs. Jess, in your expert opinion, what makes a good race leg?
I think a good race leg is a leg that gives everybody an opportunity to mix up the order a lot. I think there needs to be tasks that appeal to a lot of different skill sets. And it shouldn't be a foregone conclusion at the beginning of the leg who's going to end up winning it.
Okay. And then, is there anything that can be done to save a bad leg?
I think they need to stop putting two groups on two different flights and having it be segmented out, because I think that's the number one thing they could do to make it less terrible is bring everybody together and make sure that the people in the back have at least a fighting chance.
See, because I feel like most people complain about that, where it's like, oh, now they let everybody catch up to one another. But you think that that helps the show?
Well, I think it when it goes the other way to totally screw somebody, it ruins it. I think that you need to bunch them occasionally. You don't need to do it all the time. You don't need to do it before every task, but you do need to do it often enough that someone doesn't get totally left in the dark. And I don't like that in recent seasons it's become this trend to kind of penalize people for getting on a flight that's already been predetermined for them.
Okay. Let's go to Jeff Adolfson. Hey, Rob, what do you and Jessica feel about the Friday nights next season? Do you feel like it will be the death slot to end the show? Well, Jess and I talked about this on the Rehap Up show last night, and I was more bullish about this than Jess was. Jess, have I convinced you that Friday night is not going to be the death of the Amazing, or I shouldn't say that. Jess, have I convinced you that Friday night will not be the cause of the death of the Amazing Race?
I think you have You have caused me to stop thinking it's definitely going to kill the show. I don't know if I'm totally on board with this yet, but I'm willing to give it a chance.
Yeah. You know, a new show premiering on Friday night, that's a tough night to launch a show. But again, that you're not going to be comparing it to the shows that are on the rest of the week. You're really just going to be comparing it to the shows that are also going to be on a Friday night. And The Amazing Race is coming in with a very established and dedicated audience, which will follow it to Fridays. And I think it has a great chance to do well on Friday night, because on a Sunday night, there's so much on TV. It's so much competition. Whereas on a Friday night, the competition is going to be a lot less fierce. Amazing Race could get stronger on a Friday night even.
Yeah, I think that's totally possible. And, you know, we'll pick up a lot of people that don't have anything better to do on Friday nights.
Yeah. My main concern is that I feel like Amazing Race will succeed on Friday night and they say, hey, let's put Survivor on Friday night too. And then we end up with a whole like 2-hour reality block, and it ends up just basically completely shifting my work week from during the week to just completely on the weekend. And that's going to be a very, very tough thing for me to work around, but I won't be selfish. I just want the shows to do well.
Yeah, we want the shows to do well above all else. If it ends up turning Rob into a broken man in the process, that's not ideal, but...
Yeah, it would make things very complicated.
It definitely would.
Okay. Here's a question from Luke Ferrantino. Which team surprised you the most in their performance this time?
Well, that's a really good question, because I feel like there were a lot of surprises.
Okay. Who were the biggest surprises? Give me the surprises.
Well, I was surprised that the Afghanimals were not obnoxious.
Yes.
And Brendan and Rachel definitely surprised us.
Yeah.
The 20s surprised me in the wrong way.
Wah-wah.
Wah-wah. And I would say the Cowboys were another team I was going in. I didn't want to root for them, and they kind of turned me around to wanting them to do well.
Why? What did they do that was made you want to root for them?
They stayed out of all the drama, and when they did tasks, they just did them well and moved on to the next thing, and they had a great attitude about it the whole time. And I couldn't help but like that.
Have they traditionally gotten involved in drama?
No, they never have across the board. But they are not popular with like the inner circle of fans.
Yeah, why is that?
Because at the first finale party of their first season, one of them made some off-color remarks about one of the other contestants.
Oh, no.
And it's kind of been bad juju around them ever since.
Oh, no. Let's take a question from Mike Bloom. If this season had a fan favorite vote, who would have won? You can expand this to last season as well. Have they ever done an Amazing Race sort of fan favorite player of the season?
Not one that anybody got any prizes out of.
Okay. By the way, have you seen the trophy for the Survivor fan favorite player of the season?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Is the bell functional? That's the question everybody's asking.
How could you have an unfunctional bell?
Well, I don't know.
Do you think I would give people a bell that they could not ding?
Yeah, I guess I had faith that you would give them a dingable bell.
What would be the point even?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
It's not a purely symbolic, like you want to be able to just walk by it every now and then and give it a good ding.
That's right. That's the reason why people will have it. Okay. So who do you think would have won the fan favorite? Is it Dave and Connor, or is it Brendan and Rachel, or is it somebody else?
Of the final three, I think Dave and Connor were polling the highest. But I'm not sure. Yeah, you know, traditionally the fan favorite slot goes to whoever went out fourth. It's happened a lot of times, and I think the Afghanimals would have been in the mix.
But, you know, I learned from Big Brother this past season of where they had a twist, where they had a Big Brother MVP, and they had Rachel's sister in the house, and Rachel's sister won the MVP every single week. So I feel like if there was any sort of vote, I would not bet against the Brenschel supporters because they would be way more mobilized than the Dave and Connor supporters.
That is a fair point, and you know they would be campaigning for it.
They would be
especially
campaigning.
Especially if there was prize money involved.
Yeah. Basically, like, Brendan and Rachel are like a political candidate that basically they have, like, their whole movement, like, mobilized already. And they have, like, the best, like, infrastructure out of anybody.
They have, like, the Brenschel super PAC.
They have boots on the ground already, ready to go, voting, whatever you need. And I just think that Dave and Connor or the Afghanimals or whoever would just not even stand a chance.
Yeah, that is a fair point. That had not occurred to me.
They're ready to go. Okay. JJ Rules 07 says, Jess, was there anyone from The Amazing Race that went to the party? And if not, have you heard any stories from Vegas?
We did not get any former racers. We had a couple of RSVPs, no, with regrets, but I heard that Vegas was very fun. It looked like there was a lot of reality royalty out there and looked like they were all in a club having fun doing whatever you do at clubs.
Who was there? The contestants from this season?
A lot of the contestants from this season were there. It looked like also Jason and Amy and Tim from last season all went out. And I saw in pictures on Facebook, it looked like the Globetrotters were there, Brenschel was there, Afghanimals were there. Did not see Dave and Connor.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've friended almost the whole cast on Facebook, so I may not have seen certain pictures.
Okay. So I don't know if the people that I talked to, they were in Vegas this morning?
That might be why Brendan was driving. I don't know.
Okay. Let's go to Melissa Z. What part of the final leg do you think was Brendan and Rachel's downfall for not winning? I'm actually happy that Dave and Connor won the race. When I saw that they came back, I was excited to see them race again and redeem themselves. So where would you say Brendan and Rachel's downfall was?
I think the second they stepped inside the casino, I think that was the death knell.
Not but the cab the driver?
That cab driver didn't help, but they got really, really lost looking for a small, stupid thing, and I think that was their undoing.
Was that a bad job by Brendan to decide that we just need to run around and look for the clue? I guess Brendan felt like they needed a clue, but he needed to look for it in the hotel?
Yeah, and then Rachel said, how are we going to look in the hotel? It's one of the biggest hotels in the world.
It's pretty big. It's pretty big, the Mirage.
Yeah, she's not wrong.
Yeah. Very confusing. Mr. Air Sonic says, is there a hometown curse for the Amazing Race or at least something similar? If I recall, usually the team that goes to their hometown for the final leg ends up losing. But I don't think that's always the case, Jess, right?
I don't think you can draw any conclusions from whether or not the team is in their hometown, because we have had teams go back to their hometown and not win the race there. But then it's happened the other way as well.
Yeah, I remember the Beekmans, right? Did they go to New York?
Yeah, the Beekmans had lived in the city for a long time, and so they knew their way around mostly. And, you know, then we had, when they went to D.C. in the final leg, you had Bates had lived there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that.
Okay.
I don't think it necessarily makes a difference either way.
So there's no curse?
There's no curse.
JJ Rules wants to know, which is worse, Dave complaining about being old or Jason and Amy accusing of Tim and Marie moving their bags? Well, this seems a little bit like apples and oranges, right?
Yeah, I think it's definitely apples and oranges.
For the record, Jason and Amy complaining about Tim and Marie moving the bags resulted in Providence Amy coming out. So there was nothing wrong with that. But then they were over it. I don't think that Jason and Amy dwelled on that for a long time, right?
No, they got over it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And in fact, like they're BFFs with Tim now. So I think whatever they felt about that, they got over it pretty fast.
And we talked about this during the season. If Brenschel U-turning Dave and Connor turned Dave into Salt Lake City Dave, and then he turned it and he's like, the Brendan and Rachel, like, why I oughta, that would be great. We would love that, but it just got into a little snipey.
Yeah, I wanted him to turn into the Hulk, and he didn't.
Yeah, that would have been great if he would have really gotten that. Okay, let's take one or two more questions here, Jess. Nick 2S wants to know, has there ever been a finale like ending at night before? Jess, did we make history?
Yeah, not in recent memory, for sure. Like, I'm not 100% sure that they've never had it, but it doesn't seem like something that they've had before.
Okay, and then one more question here. This is from Zachary Zarnak-Line. Why not do a reunion show for The Amazing Race? The exit interviews from the mat feel unsatisfying. Is this a common complaint that people have had where the Survivor has always had a reunion show? Big Brother has really not ever had. They have sort of like a reunion show with everybody except the final two. They're sort of, it's always like a weird scenario where they interview just about everybody else from the season, but the two people who are left at the end are sort of in the house for that whole thing. And then the show ends with the winner sort of walking out of the house, and we don't really get any sort of follow up with them. And then The Amazing Race has even less.
Yeah, well, anybody that watched the Amazing Race Canada reunion would understand why they don't do that.
Why don't they do it?
Amazing Race Canada reunion was terrible.
Yeah, why?
And, like, nobody was excited was so nice? To be there.
Oh, why not?
Like, everybody, like, most everybody was friends on the Canada cast, except for one team that kind of thought they were a little bit more famous than the rest of the teams, and then that just ended up being, they came across as very petty, and nobody came out of it looking good.
Oh, that's sad. All right. Yeah. Well, maybe one day we'll see an amazing. Maybe that should be on Fridays. That could be a huge block on Friday. Amazing Race finale. It's all happening.
Well, selfishly, I don't want that to happen because, you know, if there's ever finale parties again and they have a reunion show, we're never going to get to hang out with the racers.
Okay. All right. Well, you shouldn't be selfish, Jess. You should want what's best for the Amazing Race.
What's best for the Amazing Race is everybody hanging out with me so that I can get them on Rob Has a Podcast.
All right. Well, that is a fair point. All right. Well, Jess, outstanding work again here on the Amazing Race. Now, we're not going to have to wait until the fall, though, to hear more coverage of the Amazing Race. Is that correct?
No, you are. You have not seen the last of me for the summer.
Okay. That tell is us, for sure. Tell us what we're working on for the summer coverage of the Amazing Race.
Well, we've got two amazing races coming up this summer. There is Amazing Race Canada is starting on July 8th, and I don't have premiere dates yet for Amazing Race Australia, but that's coming up very shortly as well. And so I'm going to be doing a show on Rob's new Splinter channel, the Reality Wrap-Ups, and I'll be having a variety of guests in. I have been talking to Amazing Race Canada racers already, and we're going to do a kind of a two-part recap every week. We're going to talk about Australia and Canada, so everybody has that to look forward to.
Yeah, and so and if you haven't caught what I am planning on doing, Reality TV Wrap-Ups is going to be a second channel that I'm going to launch sort of under the Rob Has a Podcast umbrella. And these are going to be podcasts that are not hosted by me about things that I wouldn't normally cover. So we are launching our Bachelor Wrap Up that Jess is going to cover international seasons of The Amazing Race. We have some other shows that we're currently nailing down that we are going to add under that umbrella. But basically, everything on Rob as a Podcast is going to remain the same, but we're going to reach out and cover more shows under the Reality TV Wrap Ups umbrella. And I even think for The Amazing Race international versions, I think I'm going to keep that all in the current Amazing Race feed, but also in the main, which has not been launched yet, Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea. And I'm going to point out, like, if you're living in the United States, you're not going to necessarily have easy access to these shows, but people who are patrons of Rob's Patreon network may have access to any of the means by which I get them. Okay. So I'm just throwing that out there. Support the show, get in the Facebook group, and I'll tell you how to get them.
We had the whole thing with that on Big Brother Canada as well, where there was a workaround that we were able to come up with for that. And it's not super complicated. And I'm sure Jess will even if you're not a patron, I'm sure Jess will hook people up with the how to watch the Amazing Race international versions.
Yeah, ask me nicely and I'll hook you up.
All right. Good, good, good. All right. So a lot of fun stuff coming up. Again, it's finale week. We've got so many shows coming up with Survivor and lots of fun stuff and surprises coming up with Survivor. In addition to that, we're getting ready to cover Last Comic Standing as well. Jess, are you a fan of Last Comic Standing?
I don't really love stand-up comedy, so I've never seen it.
Oh, well, you are going to be in for a treat if you check it out, because myself and Mike Bloom, who you know from his appearances on Rob as a Podcast and the Survivor Historians Podcast.
And I know him from the party last night.
Oh, Mike came?
Yeah, he did. And awesome. He is awesome.
Yes. And so we are going to be covering Last Comic Standing. I'm going to have an interview with the winner of Last Comic Standing 3, Alonzo Bowden, who's a very funny comedian, up on Rob Has a Podcast for you guys on Tuesday. And then we're also going to bring you some coverage of the Fox reality show, I Want to Marry Harry. Have you seen what this is, Jess?
I am so excited for this. Like, this is up my alley.
This is going to be a fun podcast, so I'm going to have that for you guys on Wednesday, the day of the Survivor finale. And then, of course, don't forget, we will have special coverage of Survivor Know-It-Alls after the Survivor finale at 11:15 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday night. So busy, busy, busy week, taking you all the way through to your Memorial Day weekend. So lots of stuff to do, Jess.
Lots of stuff to do. You're not going to be bored.
All right. And thanks to everybody who stayed with us all through the season. And I'm sure we also probably picked up a few new listeners along the way. So welcome aboard. Hope you stick with us for future coverage of The Amazing Race and all of the other podcasts that we're doing. Thanks again for all of your amazing work, Jess. Are you writing a blog for Post Finale?
Yep. I've already filed my blog post, so it should be up later tonight.
All right. Fantastic. Jess, thank you again. Thanks to everybody who watched us live and listened in the archives. And a special thanks to Mike Shaheen, who has written all of the episode summaries throughout the season. That's such a big help to me, and I never thank these people enough. The people who write the summaries during the live show, because it's so hard for me to go back after the fact and remember what we actually talked about. So thank you to Michael for all of his hard work and all of the people who write the episode summaries for the website. It's very important stuff, and I appreciate it so much. So we'll talk to you again soon. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.
Bye.